Mark 1:14-20. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with the hired men, and they followed him.
Let's pray together. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you have stories in your own life where you've made critical decisions. Decisions that you didn't realize at the time would change your whole life. I know I've had a few of those in my life that I've made a decision and gone a certain direction or decided not to go another direction, and it's changed the trajectory of my whole life. And one of those decisions was to move to the Northwest. And when I was just almost married, I had come up with this plan for my life, and we were headed to Indianapolis, Indiana. And my wife, that time my fiance, got offered a job, and she turned it down. And I said, you know, it might be neat to go to Spokane. Let's see if we can make that happen. So she called her boss back, and we changed our trajectory. Now, not everybody was thrilled about that. I had two people in my life, very loving people, that seemed to think that was not the greatest idea in the world. They meant well, and I listened to them, but didn't take their advice. But we had an apartment ready for us in Indianapolis. I was going to start graduate school, going to work on becoming a pastor, but I decided to take this detour in my life to move to Spokane, to the Northwest. So what was comfortable, left what we knew, and we went that way. And it was probably the one decision in my life that changed everything. My trajectory completely changed. I ended up going to a different school, eventually found myself here in this place. And ironically, as I was working with a search committee in this church, one of the things they said to me was like, "Well, I don't know if we'd hire anybody from one of those other seminaries back in the Midwest." Fair enough. I had gone to a West Coast school and made it happen. As I'm reading the story today of the disciples who leave their boats and their nets and their fishing and their father, and they drop everything, they leave what's comfortable, leave what they know, they leave their livelihood to go and to follow Jesus, to respond to this call, I can't help but think about their father. Their father must have thought. You notice in the story it says the sons of Zebedee here, they leave, and they leave their father, and they leave their father's boats and their father's servants, and they go and they follow Jesus. I ask, why was it that they left? Were they really just hating their job? Were they looking for an excuse to leave their father? Or were they inspired by the promises of Jesus? Had they jumped on that bandwagon that so many people in the book of Mark, as we continue to read it, so many people, as they know the story of Jesus and know what Jesus was doing, were they captivated by the promise of Jesus? They had to go. They felt compelled to go. They had no other choice. It wasn't logical, but they thought, this is where my life needs to go. They had no other choice. I'm sure that sometimes in your life, I'm not the only one who's made decisions that are impulsive, or made inspired, or maybe a little bit of both. Or my decisions that I thought were inspired were actually impulsive decisions. The complexity of life for most of us is that it's not just easy to pack up and go, to drop our nets, to leave our boats behind when we're inspired by something. Or maybe that's just an excuse. Or maybe we're just busy distracting ourselves. Making that kind of decision was easy to make when I was much younger. But making a decision to drop my nets and go somewhere else would be much harder as I get older. That complexity of life. What are we afraid of? Those disciples, as they followed Jesus, never talked about being afraid of failure or rejection or loneliness. It was only later in their life, after things got really difficult and hard, did they go, maybe that wasn't the best decision. But it changed their life and changed their trajectory. I don't know that I was called by God to go to the Northwest or go to Spokane, but I do know that it changed my life forever. As we consider what it means to follow Christ in this story, as we hear the disciples, I wonder, what is it that we are responding to? What are the calls in our life that call us forward to move in different directions, to do things differently than we're used to? I've shared a story with some of you before, but the sermon that got me in the most trouble was the sermon that I preached about responding to the call of Christ, responding to the passion, responding to what it is that you feel that God is calling you to do. What I said in that sermon was, if you're not feeling driven and inspired and don't feel passion in this place, in this church, then I encourage you to go somewhere else. I thought that was a great sermon. But I had a senior staff person who felt as though that was irresponsible, and I was telling people to get out of the church and to leave the church. That wasn't what I was saying. What I was trying to say is that sometimes there are fights we are fighting that we shouldn't be fighting. Sometimes there are causes and things that we do that are wasting our time and our energy, and that life is too short to be in a situation that you're not inspired by, or that sucks your life or drains your energy. But the more I think about that sermon, in fact, maybe that sermon was a bit irresponsible. The gospel in the heart of this story is about our drive and our passion, our calling, our response to the promise of the good news. And that caring, maybe for some of you, that's caring for those who are aging. Maybe for some of you, that's listening to people's stories, helping people to heal, demonstrating, building, marching for justice, volunteering, serving. I don't know what it is, but the new year is still new. And the story in the gospel is a chance to respond to the calling of Christ on our lives. But I want to talk about those boats and those nets a little bit more. Because in the story, there are three principal characters. One is Jesus, one is the collective disciples, and the other is Zebedee. Now, I want you to think about who you are in that story. Are you the story, or are you Jesus calling people out, asking them to be inspired by their life, to go and to do great things and big things? Are you the impulsive fishermen who are responding to that call to go and do something, even though it sounds reckless? Are you Zebedee going, what are these people thinking? How foolish could they possibly be? You're probably somebody in that story, sometimes a little bit of both. But I think that sermon that I preached, what I'm beginning to understand is that it was irresponsible, because we can't possibly respond to the calling that's placed on our life without support of people around us. Without a system in place that says we have developed a place and an atmosphere in which people are called to follow out their passion. Think for a moment on this current political problem that we have, no matter where your perspective is. Part of the problem is that it says, my way is the only way. There's this dangerous version of nationalism that's dependent on being right all the time, and being a bully and threatening with someone. But the kingdom of God, the church, is to build up each other, to build the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven, to build the beloved community that becomes a model to the broken system around us. A beloved community that supports the Zebedees and the fishermen alike, the dreamers and the workers and those who are still figuring it out. You see, if we really want to develop a community that responds to the passion and the calling of Christ on our life, it means that we have to allow space for people we don't agree with. People who have gifts and skills and passions that we go, I don't even understand what they're talking about. I don't even understand why they're doing what they're doing. But we believe that if we really respond to our passions, that we have trust and knowledge that that person is doing what God has called them to do. And that's not always easy, because some of us are called to be planners, and some of us are called to be fundraisers, and some of us are called to serve meals. But it takes all of us. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." This is difficult and hard work. It takes patience and commitment and a love of community. It means reaching beyond ourselves to support one another. Because I can respond to my calling, and you can respond to your calling. Someone else might respond to their calling. But we need each other in this process. We need to support one another. We need to go back to those Zebedees and say, okay, let me explain what's going on here and why we're doing. We need those fishermen. We need to sit down with those fishermen and say, okay, it's great that you're inspired and you want to do something great, but let's come up with a plan together. And we need to rely on the story and the ministry of Jesus to inspire us, to keep us on the right track, to say, this is where we should be going. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." It takes a lot of hard work to make that happen, but I think we can do it. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, the Apostle Paul says that we are all part of the one body of Christ. No one member is more important than the other, but it takes all of us together. May we find ways in this community to understand, to support, to love, and to encourage people to live out their dreams and their passions, to encourage them to harness their gifts that are given by you, God. In your name, we gather, we pray, and we seek to live. Amen.